Chapter 7. Skip the praise, give me the raise. There is no more powerful tool a manager can have than a good bonus program, which is why some companies will pay a consultant tens of thousands of dollars to design one. That's not necessarily a stupid investment. If a bonus program works, it can be an incredible motivator. It can get people producing at levels that make the cost of the program seem like peanuts, no matter how much you have spent to set it up. What a bonus program does is communicate goals in the most effective way possible by putting a bounty on them. It says to people, these targets are important. We'll give you a reward if you hit them. When you do that, you get people's attention very fast. You send them a strong message. You provide them with a focus. You give them a challenge and a very good reason for working as hard and as smart as they can to meet it. They're going to get paid. We get all that and much more from our bonus program, and we didn't pay anyone a dime to come up with it. We call it Skip the Praise, Give Us the Raise, or Stop Gooter. Here are some of the things we like about it. 1. The bonus program is our most effective educational program. We use it to teach people about our business. If the goal is to improve the debt-to-equity ratio, people learn about debt and equity and how they can affect both. The same holds for pre-tax profits or inventory accuracy or overhead charge-out rates. Whatever the goal, it gives people a big incentive to find out about some of the aspect of the accounting system, the company, the competitive environment. Otherwise, they won't have much fun and they won't earn the bonus program, and they'll take a lot of flack from their peers. 2, the bonus program serves as a kind of insurance policy on the company and our jobs. That's because we use it to target our vulnerabilities. Every year, we figure out what is the greatest threat the company faces, and we get the entire workforce to go after it in the bonus program. In effect, we put our annual bounty on fixing our weaknesses. That gives everyone an additional reason to achieve the goals. These are musts, not wants, and so they are worth the extra effort. Interesting enough, once a weakness is fixed, it tends to stay fixed. 3, the program brings us together as a team. It ensures that everyone has the same priorities and that we'll all stay focused on the same goals. It eliminates mixed messages. When one department is having trouble, another department will send in reinforcements, and everyone understands why. Often, people don't even have to be asked. They will help each other out spontaneously, sometimes at a great inconvenience. That's because the program makes everyone aware of how much we depend on one another to hit our targets. We win together or we don't win at all. 4, the program helps us identify problems fast. If we don't achieve a goal, we found out very quickly why we missed it. Everybody is looking through the numbers to see what the problem is. Maybe it's receivables. Customers are slowing down their payments and conserving cash. Maybe it's productivity. People are new in their jobs and can't absorb overhead fast enough. The bonus program forces the problem out into the open. Once it's there, you can go to work on it. You can solve it. 5, the bonus program is the best tools we have for increasing the value of our stock. We always set it up to guarantee that the stock value will rise substantially if we hit our targets, and it will be protected even if we don't. That's one of the most important messages we send through our program. The game is all about equity and job security. Short-term incentives like bonuses are fine, but we want to make sure people never lose sight of the long-term payoffs. 6, most important, the bonus program provides the structure of the game. It puts the ball in play. It sets the tempo. It keeps the action going week in, week out, all year long. It gives us a language, a way of communicating. It creates excitement, anticipation. It gets the adrenaline flowing. It makes sure that people stay involved, engaged, and on their toes. It is, in short, our most important motivator, which is its primary function. If it weren't raising the energy level, we'd stop using it. Although I find it hard to imagine how it could fail to motivate. That's a question we constantly pose. Is the bonus program motivating people? But I have to admit that if anybody ever told me it wasn't, I think they were a dirty liar, or that our education program was in deep trouble. Bootstrapping. the best reason for paying people with bonuses. I am a strong believer in operating a company, any company, as if its future were always on the line, as if something could happen at any moment to threaten its survival. Most companies do follow that principle when they're starting up. They don't take the future for granted because they can't. They know they could run out of cash next week and the game would be over. So they become extremely resourceful. They constantly look for an edge, for a way to cut costs and save money, for things that they can do to get a bigger bang for their buck. It's known as bootstrapping, and it's how every business should be run, not just startups. Bootstrapping is a mentality, a set of habits, a way of operating based on self-reliance, ingenuity, intelligence, and hard work. When you don't bootstrap, you grow fat and sloppy. You get into the habit of buying solutions to your problems. You take the future for granted. You assume you'll be in business forever. You let your costs rise, and you take your eye off the ball. You get caught up in a lot of issues that have nothing to do with making money and generating cash. The next thing you know, a competitor comes along and knocks you out of the box. Suddenly, your company doesn't have much of a future, and you may not have a job. A good bonus system can help you build a bootstrapping mentality into your organization. It does that by putting a great deal of emphasis on job security, by reminding people what it takes to protect their jobs, and by showing them how they can get more. As I've said, there's only one sure way to protect jobs, and that is to be ruthless about costs. But least-cost companies face an unpleasant choice. If you want to come in below your competitors, you can pay your people less, or you can make your product faster. That's about it. No human person enjoys making such a choice. Who wants to have a business that provides people with the lowest standard of living in the market, or that forces them to work so fast it's unhealthy? Who wants a company that prevents people from taking care of their families and themselves, from leading a full and happy life? But what's the alternative if you're going to be competitive and stay in business? A bonus system like ours offers a way around this dilemma. It allows the company to hold base salaries at a level that gives people a great deal of job security. That pretty much guarantees they'll have work so long as they do a decent job. But if they do better than a decent job, if they can figure out ways to improve, the company shares with them whatever additional money they generate by paying them bonuses. The more they generate, the bigger the bonus. It's like getting a raise, maybe even a very substantial raise, over and above your regular salary. But in a way, that doesn't jeopardize your future employment. We know we can survive the tough economic periods. We may not pay bonuses in tough times, but we'll keep going. We won't lose jobs. In effect, we're creating a certain elasticity for the downtimes. We don't ever want to lay people off, and we don't want to cut wages. Most of the salary a working person earns goes to cover his or her fixed costs: mortgages, tuitions, groceries, transportation expenses. If you're forced to cut back on those areas, your morale is going to tumble. I don't know of anything harder than having to cut basic living expenses. We want people to be able to count on certain levels of income, but we also want to give them the opportunity to earn more. And they will earn a lot more as long as the company is in good shape and they are performing up to their capabilities. If bonus programs are so great, why do many of them fail? For a lot of reasons, our first bonus program failed miserably in 1983. It was a total disaster. For one thing, most people didn't understand it. They weren't motivated by it. They didn't know what they could do to achieve the goals. Not only that, but we've chosen the wrong goals. We wouldn't have enough cash to cover the bonuses if people had hit the targets. When we realized our mistakes, we killed the program immediately, midway through the year, and went back to the drawing board. That experience taught us how not to set up a bonus program. We've learned a lot since then about developing one that really works. In the process, we come up with a checklist of what you should do and what you should avoid when you create your own bonus plan. Put everybody in the same boat. Every employee should be part of the same bonus program, from the chief executive to the people who sweep the floors and answer the phones. Give everybody the same goals and a similar stake in the outcome. At SRC, we calculate bonuses as a percent of regular compensation. Whenever a bonus is paid under Stopgooder, each of us gets a check for an amount representing a preset percentage of our annual pay, salary or wage plus overtime. We don't get all the same percentage. Under Stop Guter, most managers and professionals are eligible to earn bonuses totaling up to 18% of their annual pay. For everyone else, the maximum bonus is 13% of annual pay. The reason the difference is we want people to move ahead, to make and take more risk and shoulder additional responsibilities. If they do, it's important that they get rewarded. But that said, we want everyone to go after the same goals and to be subject to the same rules. Stick to two or three goals and get them from the financials. Giving people a long list of goals is like not having any goals at all. Build your bonus program around two or at most three goals per year. More than that just gets too complicated. The important thing is to choose the right ones. I want goals that keep people focused on the fundamentals of business, making money and generating cash. I also want goals that educate people about the different aspects about the business, that teach people exactly what it takes to be successful, that provide an incentive to do the right things. Finally, I want goals that make the company stronger by eliminating our weaknesses. As it turns out, you can get all that by choosing goals right off the financial statements. Give people the chance to win early and often. A bonus program is first and foremost a tool for motivating people. If it doesn't motivate, it isn't working. And what gets people motivated? Winning. There's really nothing like winning to make you want to go back and try again and do even better the next time. Set up your bonus program so that you put people on a winning track from the outset and then make it possible for them to keep winning right through to the end of the year. Communicate, communicate, communicate. Above all, make sure people understand how the bonus program works and are kept up to date on how they're doing. Bad communication is the main reason most bonus programs fail. No matter how clever you have been, no matter how well you have chosen your goals, no matter how carefully you have designed your payout system, your program simply won't motivate people if they don't get it, and if they can't follow what's happening, or if they think you're hiding something from them. Don't expect them to give you the benefit of the doubt. I guarantee that they will think you're manipulating the numbers if there's any doubt about the bonus formula, or if you lack a system for monitoring and checking the results. Of course, if the bonus program makes sense, explaining it shouldn't be all that difficult. Start by teaching the teachers, that is your managers, supervisors, key employees. Develop a solid core of people who know what's going on and who can explain it to everyone else. It's a good idea to hold some meetings and produce some support materials, handouts, brochures, videos, whatever. But once your teachers are up to speed, don't wait. Go ahead and launch the program. Most people are going to learn about the bonus program the way people always learn about games, by playing it. What's crucial is to have an effective system for keeping track of the results and communicating them throughout the company. At SRC, we manage the flow of information by playing the great game of business. The principal mechanism we use is the weekly staff meeting, which is not so much a discrete event as the focal point of the entire process of exchanging information up and down the organization. Don't pay the bonus unless it is earned, but do everything you can to help people win. That is a simple point, but it is fundamental. The bonus program should be a tool for putting people in touch with the realities of the marketplace. A bonus should not be seen as a gift from management. It should be a reward people earn by doing a better job than their competitors who are out there vying for the same customers. You undermine that message if you pay the bonus when people come up short on their targets. That can be very, very tough for a CEO. If people have tried hard and missed by a tiny amount, there's this big temptation to pay the bonus program anyways. Resist it. Once you start changing the rules of the game, you step onto that slippery slope, and it's hard to go back. A couple of times, we missed the targets by a fraction, and we didn't pay it. In each case, it was agony. I don't want it to happen again. So now, as we near the end of the quarter, our accountants come into the weekly staff meetings with sheets showing exactly what we must do to get to that next level of that goal. You can always come up with a few $1,000s extra in some area, if that's what it takes. Bonus power. The real power of the bonus program lies in its ability to educate people about business. Once they understand the math, they see how everything fits together and how business can be a tool for getting them what they want. And it all does fit together. The system really works. You can't criticize it because it is simply a reflection of reality. You can criticize individuals. You can take people to task for the way they do business. You can go after the ones who are greedy, who only want to help themselves, who exploit other people for personal gain. But the fault lies in those individuals, not in the nature of capitalism. Bonus rules to keep in mind. Coming up with the specific targets and payout levels is largely a matter of arithmetic. The numbers will, of course, be very different for every company. You must do the math. The bonus system won't work if the math doesn't work. In making your calculations, however, do not lose sight of the fundamental purpose, namely to get and keep your people motivated. Here are some general rules to bear in mind. 1. Set the baseline at the lowest point that still guarantees the company's security. Everybody must understand that the basic health of the company is paramount. Nobody should earn a bonus for doing the minimum required to protect jobs. We figure, for example, that a pre-tax margin of 5% is the lowest we can have without getting into trouble. Remember, 40% of profits go to taxes. So that leaves us with a 3% after-tax margin, which we need for working capital, replacing worn-out machines, handling swings in inventory, and so on. On the other hand, you don't have to put the baseline so high that people get discouraged right off the bat. Keep the first payout level well within their range. At SRC, everybody knows that we are capable of getting into the first level of either goal, because we set the baseline at a level we've already achieved in the past. Notice that people are focusing about the survival point. Many companies set their goals too low, as if it's okay to break even. Then the company is in danger if people miss the goal. We never want to operate that close to the line. If our pre-tax margin is less than 5%, we all feel as though we've let one another down, and that's exactly how I want it. I would rather have people feel bad about missing the bonus than about losing their jobs because the company is not making money. 2. Make sure people have the opportunity to take home a significant portion of the additional profits generated under the bonus program. Bonuses won't motivate people if they think the company is being cheap or greedy, or if the rewards aren't commensurate with the effort they are asked to put out. They must feel that the plan is both a fair deal and a way to earn some big bucks. Stop Guder gives a machinist on the shop floor a shot at an extra 13% on top of his or her base compensation. That's $2,600 for someone making $20,000 a year, or the equivalent of almost 7 weeks' pay. As for example, it gives back to people in the form of bonuses about half of the additional profits generated over and above the base of 5% pre-tax, assuming we hit the highest payout levels on both goals. 3. Make it possible for people to earn bonuses frequently enough to keep them involved in the game. One of the most common mistakes companies make is to have just one bonus payout per year. They compound the mistake by not announcing how much people have earned until long after year end, and then not actually paying them for several weeks beyond that. What happens is that people ignore the bonus program until the final quarter. More likely, they pay no attention to it at all and regard whatever they get under it as a gift. That kind of bonus program is not a reward, it's a bribe. We set up the Stop Guder program so that people have a chance to earn a bonus every 3 months. That makes sense because of our overall approach to the great game of business. On the one hand, we want people to get used to a quarterly grading system. It's a time-tested way of evaluating companies, and it works. It fits in with the normal cycles of a business. It's a good short-term time frame. Moreover, the three-month period turns out to be pretty much ideal for the way we play the game. The end of the quarter comes fast enough that we can keep people focused on it through our weekly meetings. Not every bonus program should have quarterly payouts. Monthly payouts might work better for some companies. I can also see having semi-annual ones. Don't go longer than that, however, without at least locking in the money owed to people. Not only will the bonus lose its impact, but you may run into credibility problems, especially if the program is new. People are going to be skeptical when you lay out the bonus deal for them. They won't really believe it until they see the money in their hands. But once that happens, their attitude will change so fast it will take your breath away. 4. Start with a small bonus pool and let it grow as the year goes on, so that people have the opportunity and the incentive to meet all the goals and earn the entire bonus right up to the end. By bonus pool, I mean the total amount of money available to be paid out in bonuses during any given period. I'm saying the pool should start small and grow from month to month or quarter to quarter. This is a very important point. If you're not careful, you might inadvertently build some subtlety motivators into your plan. Suppose you decide to give people the chance to earn 25% of the annual bonus in each quarter of the year, and they come up short in the first two quarters. That would take a lot of steam out of the program. People might well get demoralized and stop trying. Suppose, on the other hand, they simply had to achieve the goals at any point in order to earn the bonus for the entire year, and they got everything done by the middle of the third quarter. Chances are that the company would be headed for big trouble before the year was through. We avoid these pitfalls by increasing the stakes as the year goes on and by rolling any unearned bonus from one quarter into the pot for the next quarter. Here's how it works. The bonus pool for the first quarter is 10% of the total for the year. For the second quarter, it's 20%. For the third quarter, it's 30%. For the fourth quarter, it's 40%. Let's say we hit half of our targets in the first quarter and thus earn half of the available bonus. That amounts to 5% of the total bonus we are eligible to earn during the year. We get paid the 5% we earned right away. The unearned 5% is rolled over into the second quarter pool. So now in the second quarter, we're going after 25% of the annual bonus pool. Suppose we don't hit any of our targets in the second quarter. In that case, the entire 25% gets rolled into the third quarter, which means we are now shooting for 55% of the annual bonus. The 30% share from the third quarter, plus the 20% from the second, plus the 5% from the first. Even if we hit all of our highest targets in the third quarter, there is 40% of the bonus pool available to go after in the fourth quarter. If we don't hit any of our targets, we still have a chance to earn the rest of the annual bonus program before the end of the year. As a result, people stay in the game right up to the last whistle. We can win one quarter at a time, or we could pull it out on a Hail Mary pass in the final seconds. Like the man said, it ain't over till the fat lady sings, and by then we have another game ready to go. Bonus math and how it all adds up. If your bonus program isn't completely quantifiable, there is something wrong with it. People need targets and rewards they can count on. That means giving them numbers. Winning shouldn't be a judgment call or a matter of opinion. If it is, people won't believe you and the program will fail. But before you announce the targets and the payouts, make sure that the numbers add up. You don't want to launch a program and then discover that you've pointed people in the wrong direction or given them incentives to do the wrong things. Above all, you want to be certain you can pay the bonuses you promised. Otherwise, you'll have a disaster on your hands. If you fail to deliver the bonus when your people have delivered the goals, they'll never trust you again. The math itself will depend on the type of bonus program you have, not to mention the specific circumstances of your business. But there's a certain logic to any process of choosing and checking the bonus numbers. Set the profit targets and the maximum bonus payouts. Before anything else, we decide on the baseline for profits, the target for profits, and the highest level of bonuses we will pay on both goals. From that, we can figure out how much additional profit people might generate under the program and how much the company will give back to them in the form of bonuses if they hit all the targets. In our case, pre-tax profits have to be greater than 5% of our income before we pay any bonus on the income statement goal. Above 5%, we start sharing the additional profits with people in the form of bonuses based on a percentage of their regular compensation. For simplicity's sake, let's assume that everybody gets the same percentage and that the most people can earn is an extra 13% of their annual pay, which they will get if they hit the maximum level of both goals. 6.5% for one, 6.5% for the other. Suppose we have sales of $70 million per year and our payroll is $10 million. The most we paid out under Stop Gooder would be an additional $1.3 million in 1 year, 13% times the $10 million payroll. We'd only pay that much, however, if we hit the maximum payout level on both goals. The maximum payout level for the profitability goal is usually set at 8.6% pre-tax profit. For purposes of this example, let's call it 9%. That means the company would earn an additional pre-tax profit of $2.8 million. So after we paid the bonuses, we still have an extra $1.5 million left over for other purposes. Notice we're assuming that we'll pay the maximum bonus on both goals, not just the profitability goal. A balance sheet goal may not have any effect on your profits, but you'll have to pay the bonus on it if people hit it, so you must include it in your calculations. Obviously, if you do the calculating and you don't like the results, you should go back and come up with different targets or payout levels. Decide on a balance sheet goal. Meanwhile, we are choosing our balance sheet goal with an eye toward making sure we'll have the cash to pay the bonuses people earn. You run a big risk if you have an income statement goal but not a balance sheet goal. People may wind up making money without generating cash. Theoretically, all the money they make could go into inventory and receivables, and you wouldn't be able to pay the bonuses on time. That's one reason we like liquidity as a balance sheet goal. It greatly increases the odds that we will have the cash we need to pay bonuses and do a lot of other things. Protect your equity. The whole idea of a bonus program is to provide people with short-term incentives to achieve certain goals. Everybody needs these kinds of rewards. But we don't ever want people to forget the real payoff for playing the great game of business at SRC, namely the generation of wealth in the form of equity. So we always go back and see what effect our Stop Gooder goals are likely to have on the value of our stock.